If you want to open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Anybody at all? Shout it out. Every little part of the body is important. Anybody else? That's good, Chuck. Does anybody remember where the scripture came out of last week? Somebody who's not looking at their old bulletin. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. All right. Well, we talked about keeping the body healthy, and we talked about how Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body, and everybody's gifts are equal, and we all complement one another, and we all go together. And the body cannot operate with one person alone, but it takes everybody. And then we talked about in where he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he talks about love, and he gives us the means for all of our different gifts and everybody who's different to be able to get along together in the body. And we talked about looking at our spiritual health and looking at our church and our bodies and seeing what we need to bring into the body, what we need to get out of the body. And I thought it was very fitting what Ann talked about gossip this morning, because I've got a bunch of notes in here for a message on gossip from a couple times about a couple weeks ago about what we need to work on in the body. Maverick, you almost made it, buddy, but you stopped. But I want to talk about the need for spiritual health, the need for our spiritual relationships. And I think back on my spiritual relationship when it wasn't quite so healthy. And it goes back to college. And I remember I was my junior year, and I didn't really think I needed a whole lot of help with my spiritual relationship. I didn't really value it a whole lot. I didn't really read my Bible outside of class, but I had some Bible classes, so I felt like I was reading enough, but it wasn't really to study the Bible. It was just kind of to numbly memorize it so I can get it down on the test and pass the course. And I didn't pray a whole lot. I prayed for my meals, but everybody at Malone, everybody at Christian College prays for their meals. If you don't pray, I mean, there's something wrong with you, so you pray for your meal. But the words that came out of my mouth came to be very routine. I didn't pray a whole lot. I prayed at bedtime. And every once in a while, something would really fire me up. And you know what it's like when all of a sudden you get fired up about God and you just go crazy and you read your Bible a whole bunch and you pray and then you kind of come down off of it and you get burned out and you quit reading your Bible for a little bit because you've read like 13 chapters in the last hour and you've been doing that all day because you're so fired up. Well, I've gone through all of this, and as we're addressing our spiritual lives and our relationship with God, I want us to think, have we noticed that time spent on God has a direct effect on us? Does anybody else get that cause and effect? The more time I spend on God, the more it affects me. The less time I spend on God, the more it affects me. Does anybody else go through that? Anybody? All right. I noticed that the more spiritual that I am with God, the more my spiritual life is in order, the better I feel. I feel stronger. I feel rested. I feel at peace. I feel right. It's when I get lackadaisy that I have a harder time dealing with things. And lackadaisy, everybody knows what lackadaisy is. I don't think it's used a whole lot, but lackadaisy, you get lazy. You just get, it's not a real big deal. Hey, I'm okay. You're okay. My spiritual life's okay. It's when I get lackadaisy about it that I have a harder time dealing with my life. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's read verses 1 through 5. And Paul says, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ." We can talk about our spiritual lives and we can say, yeah, I need this and I need this. And it's just like in the rest of life, you have to have a reason to do something, don't you? If you don't have a why, you're never going to get there. If I say I want to have a better spiritual life, if I don't come up with a good enough reason, stuff's going to come up and I'm just not going to do it. If I don't have a reason to go to work, I'm not going to go to work, right? Some days I almost felt like I didn't have a good enough reason to go to work and wanted to stay home. But it's the same thing through all of life with our spiritual lives. If we don't have a big enough reason to do it, are we going to do it? I know that personally, I didn't. So I want to talk about some whys. And here in Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul makes some really good points. Why is God important in your life? Number one, he says, because the Lord is faithful. The Lord is always there. He's always the same. He is your constant in a world that is ever-changing, in a world filled with things that's trying to pull you into the world and trying to pull you down. God is faithfully there for you. Number two, he says, he will strengthen you. Does anybody feel stronger the more time that they spend with God? Does anybody feel like they can handle more or they're more at peace? It might not be that you can handle more, but the things that you're handling now don't seem so big the more time you spend with God, because he will strengthen you. And he also says he will guard you. God is our guard. He will guard us from who? The evil one. God will guard us from the evil one. And I, growing up, man, we didn't talk about Satan a whole lot. And even at a Christian college, we didn't talk about Satan a whole lot. And you know what the devil's number one tactic is in this world to get things accomplished? Is to make us believe he's not really here, isn't it? It's to make us believe he's not really here, but in the Bible, it clearly says, we'll guard you from the evil one. When Christ taught us to pray, he said, deliver us from evil. There's evil in the world. And if we've ever read the book of Job, it's God and Satan going back and forth, Satan doing all of these things to Job. But for some reason, today, we think, well, that's back in Bible times. That's not still around, is it? There's no spiritual warfare today, is there? The devil is trying to make us think that he is not here. And can we be, as a church, can we be so naive to think that the devil can't just walk through those doors and wreak havoc upon this body? The devil is real, but God is bigger. I need God. I need him. Until I experienced the oppression of spiritual warfare, and until I recognized some of the things that were going on, you know, we may go through things, but we don't recognize it. Until you go through it and you recognize it, then you find that you have a deep need for that guard. Just as it says here, he will guard you from the evil one. He is faithful and he will strengthen you. That's a pretty big reason to need God. Another passage in 2 Thessalonians, verse 5 says, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and patient endurance that comes from Christ. That's another good reason that we need to have this relationship with God, because like we talked about last week, how we're supposed to be in the body together, it doesn't work without the love, but it says, and all the way down here, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God. The love that we need to be one in this body only comes from God, and only God can teach us because it is him. And the most rewarding thing from going deeper with God for me is understanding this love. The closer I get to God, the closer I know him, the closer I understand this love that we need to come together. The closer I understand the love that is needed to come together, the love that conquered the cross, the love that saved us, the love that binds us together. The love of God is closer to you the closer you become to him. It feels good, and it feels whole when I am there, because God has redeemed me, and he calls my name, and I am his, and so are you. How do we get there? That's two good reasons, right, to help our spiritual lives. One is so that we can learn more about that love that we talked about. You can't just read about it. You have to draw close to God. And the second that we need to understand that there is spiritual warfare in the world. The devil is real in the world. If you ignore him, he's still there. He's just not bothering you because he doesn't see you. He doesn't see you as his enemy. And that should strike to your heart. I've got I've got some things for the foundations of our spiritual life. And the first one is prayer. I think that we can all agree that prayer is a very important thing to grow spiritually. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, well, actually back up a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. And Colossians 4, 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This is Paul's advice. See, prayer is our direct line with God. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, because of Christ and our faith in He, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I like this. It says, now we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. How much do we value our ability to come into God's presence? Yeah, I try to fathom what it would be like to grow up before Christ and to grow up in the biblical times when there had to be a priest and you couldn't go directly to God. You couldn't stand in His presence. When God created man, He created them to be in each other's presence. Wasn't God walking along the garden with Eden or with Adam in the beginning? And then there was a separation. So God created us to be next to Him in His presence. And for a long time we didn't have that. And now we do have that ability. Do we understand how powerful that is? Does that mean much to us? I can tell you this. How much we value our ability to be in God's presence is measured by the time that we set aside for prayer. I don't think you can get around that. Because it shows God. It shows it. It makes a point that this is how much I value being in the presence of God, my Father, the most holy one, who we couldn't come to before Christ because of sin. Prayer is our communication with God, and without communication, the relationship with God, it just doesn't exist. The second thing I have is reading the Bible. God has given us wisdom to go deeper and to learn and to grow in His words. And the more we know about what God has done in the past, the easier it is to have faith in what He's going to do. Do you agree? If you've got some good examples, the easier it is to trust somebody. I'm not just going to trust somebody if they've just let me down and down and down. They don't have a good track record. Like, who was crying wolf this week? Was it Jaron or Tyler? One of the boys was crying wolf. He just cried and cried and cried. And then when it came down to it, it wasn't the case. He was just crying for another reason. I can't remember exactly what it is, but you get to stop trusting them, and then you just let him cry, which is good. It teaches them something. But you know what I mean? When somebody has a good standing with you, when you see the works of God and the deeds of God, is it easier to trust Him the more you learn about it? Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us, and the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. In these words are truths, examples, stories, character, and knowledge about our God and Savior. I think the Bible is a very important part to our spiritual well-being. Do you agree? Okay. The third thing that I have, or three, is fellowship and accountability. And I think fellowship is really fun. Who doesn't want a fellowship? Fellowship means to share in common. The body of Christ is to be unified as one, and we are all individual who share in the common Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, it says, we are to fellowship in the sense of meeting together to help one another, motivate each other, and to live from love, to live for love and good works. I think we could also call this accountability. We're to build one another up and stay united as one and help each other stay on track. That's the whole point of coming together as a church, is to be together in the body. And man, when I think about someone say, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. But yet church is where you have your fellowship, isn't it? And just as a part of the body, if there's no blood going to my hand, what's going to happen to my hand? It's going to turn brown, it's gangrene, it's going to fall off, it's going to die, right? That's the same way it is with Christians. When Christ is talking about the blood and the body, He's meaning we are a body, and if you're not connected to the body, you're not connected. You don't have that motivation, you don't have that fellowship running through you. And what's going to most likely happen is you're going to start to die. You don't have that blood constantly running through you in the body. Fellowship is very important. And I don't know who doesn't want a fellowship. I think it's fun, unless you don't think it's fun getting together and having a good time. So we've got three things here. three key points to help us with our spiritual walks. The first one is prayer, and that's our direct line. The second one is reading the Bible, which is to encourage us and teach us. And the third one is fellowship, which helps us with motivation and connection to the body. Now, when you put all three of these things together, I could use a triangle analogy because there's three things, but I'm not going to use a circle. When you put all three things together and you're running on the circle real good, your life seems to be running smooth. We all agree that things go better the more time we spend with God, didn't we? Well, I've got a grill in my garage, and you guys know grills come with those plastic little wheels. I don't think you can call it a tire. It's a little wheel. It's just plastic, and they freeze up, right? So in the wintertime, I grilled some steaks this week from Chuck, and thanks, Chuck. And but as you pull the grill, the wheel just slides, and as you pull it across the concrete, and if you keep pulling it, what happens to that wheel? It wears off, and you get a flat spot, don't you? The same way with these three things. If you're doing prayer and you're reading your Bible, but you're not fellowshipping, you run and then you thump, run, thump, run, thump, run, thump. And no matter how fast you go, it's a thump, 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 thump. It's still there. If you're not doing any of these things, you're running on a triangle type deal. You've got three flat sides and you're not running very good at all, are you? And I did not run very good. People could hear me coming from a mile away because, first off, my attitude was bad. The things that I said was bad, and the smile that I was given wasn't covering anything up when I wasn't spiritually healthy. I was just, boom, 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 boom. I think that's the way I was when Chandra met me. But the more we do these things, the more you do all three of these things, the smoother things become. I want us to remember that all three go together. We can't do just one or the other, but God has given us all three for our spiritual well-being. Now, if we want to improve our spiritual well-being, I do have some tips, and I went on a wellness website, and I looked at what it takes to actually follow through with your goal for losing weight or getting in shape, and it really is the same thing with our spiritual lives. First off, you have to make it a goal. You can't just say, I'm going to do it, but you have to have a specific goal of where you want to get. You have to say that I want to pray, and I want to read my Bible, and I want to fellowship every day. Or something like that. And you have to do it. If you don't make a goal, somebody once told me, if you don't know where you're going, chances are you're already there. Also, if you don't know where you're going, you're probably not going to get there, are you? If you don't have that goal, if you don't have that thing that you're going for in the distance, then you're not going to get there. My goal is to go deeper. The second thing is to make a plan, because those who fail to plan, anybody know it? Plan to fail. All right. If you don't make a plan, you're not gonna follow through. So I had many goals in college, let me tell you. I had many goals, but I never had a plan. And to make a plan is like setting a specific time aside in the day and saying, I'm gonna do this, this, and this. And then you have to do it. So you have the goal of where you want to get, and then you have to make a plan, and you have to stick to that plan. And my plan, I would suggest, for those of us who feel like they don't have time, and you're having a hard time just squeezing it in, is try 15 minutes of your day on these three things. 5 minutes in prayer, quality prayer. 5 minutes with your Bible, quality. You can read a lot of the Bible in 5 minutes. And then 5 minutes with fellowship. Get some accountability from your spouse, from your best friend, someone who you trust to hold the line when it comes down to you sticking to your plan and doing the things you do. And in your spiritual life, you gotta have somebody. You have to fellowship, or else we'll fall away. And I also would suggest change things up so you don't burn out. If you're, man, I went and talked with Bess, and she was reading in Deuteronomy, she said, or Leviticus, and Deuteronomy said, Pastor, I'm really struggling with this Bible. And Bess is in her 80s, and she's been through the Bible, I don't know how many times, I'm really struggling with this Bible. I said, well, what are you reading? So I'm reading Leviticus. Oh, okay. She said, I just don't like it. So, well, you need to switch it up a little bit. Read a little bit here and read a little bit here. You don't have to just spend all your time in one book. I find that if I'm trying to get through some of the more books that I don't find quite as stimulating, then I will read one chapter of them and I'll read two chapters of another. But you can do things to help yourself not get burned up. And number three is that you have to follow through. You have to seek that accountability with someone you trust to hold that line for you. So we've got three things here. The first one was make a goal. The second one was make a plan of how to get to that goal. And the third one was following through with it. And this is how we really get down to building up that spiritual relationship with God. And you have to have a reason to do it. I want to try stepping up our spiritual walks this week, no matter where we are, no matter where we are, whether we think we need it or whether we think we don't need it. We're going to go deeper this week. And I did some mathematic equation type stuff here on a calculator. But 15 minutes a day times 7 days is 1 hour and 45 minutes a week. That's 1 hour and 45 minutes a week more you spend than if you don't. 15 minutes a day times 365 days is 94 hours and 15 minutes. That's almost 3 days. That's almost 3 days with God that you wouldn't have if you didn't do anything. Now, if you're saying 15 minutes, that doesn't seem like enough time. So why bother? It will add up. 15 minutes a day this week if you're not doing anything. And if you're doing something else, go deeper. Go a little bit more. And let's come back next week and see how exciting it is to not hear as many thump, 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 thump. No, but God calls us as a body to go deeper, doesn't he? We're called as Christians to go deeper. Let's do that. How much do we appreciate being in the presence of God this week? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you've laid this challenge before us individually and as a body, Lord, I pray that we would uphold one another to this. I pray that we would uphold one another to just going deeper with you, Lord, as you have called us to do, so that we can have that understanding of that love that you have called us to. That's the only way for our body to work together, is to have that love, and going deeper is what it takes to get it, Lord. I pray that you would work in our hearts, Lord, and give us the reasons, because I know how hard it is when your reason isn't strong enough, when your reason isn't stronger than the other things that are pressing on you at the day. Build us up this week, Lord. Protect us, deliver us, guide us, and strengthen us as we go throughout our secular weeks, Lord, and as we come back here next week, that we would fellowship and build each other up once again to go on and take another week. Amen.